you ever use bulk email, or have you ever used bulk email in the past?
I do not use bulk email now. I remember when maybe 8 years ago when I was first learning about the Internet, I had bought some software that would allow me to send bulk email, and I did play around with it. I remember I got a couple of my servers shut down, but it was never effective, and it's not something I'd even consider now.
You'd have to have hundreds of millions before you're really effective.
Exactly.
Most of the stuff out there, it's a bad business marketing strategy. I try to tell everybody that, and I think a lot of people have the misconception. They think, you know, it's a numbers game. If I can just send out a million emails, I'll be rich. No, you won't.
No.
You'll get less than a 0.0001% response, and no one's ever going to buy.
Right.
So what do you find to be the most profitable products to sell? I mean, I know you resell the marketing courses, but I sell informational products, and I find that to be the most profitable for myself. What do you find to be the most profitable type of product?
Well, what I'm moving into, I'm kind of moving into a section that's pretty exciting, and that's promoting high-end, expensive seminars. And you know, you think about Jay Abraham, you know, he's selling seminar seats for $15,000, $20,000, and there's certainly a market for everything. You know, $15,000, $20,000 for a businessman or a CEO who wants to learn how to improve his business is a write-off, just like a small information product would be a write-off for you and me. You know, it's chump change. It's a write-off, and it's an investment, and I'm kind of moving into that direction in creating online strategies to promote expensive marketing seminars, some anywhere between $5,000 and $15,000, and there's a lot of money to be made in it, and there's a market out there for it, and I think it's a good way to leverage my time.
So that's what we'll be seeing Michael Senoff do in the next couple of years, more or less.
I've been really seriously thinking about it, yeah.
Okay. What are your views on back-end selling? You know, do you have front-end? Like, when you sell a course, is that a front-end to you, or is that just it? Like, you sold them a course and the sale's over. Do you back-end sell your customers as well?
Well, probably not as much as I should as anybody, but when someone buys a course, I take their name and they go into an autoresponder sequence called new customer. So let's say Jay Gould buys a course for me today. Well, I'll take Jay Gould's email address, your name, what you bought, and put that into an autoresponder. And then you'll hear from me over the next 6 or 7 months. Nothing, no major offers, but just, Jay, how's it going? If you need anything, let me know. Just keep in touch, you know, so I'm at the top of your mind. So
this way, you're just reminding them, like, I'm out here, you know.
Yeah, I'm out here if you need anything. So by the time you finish that course, many will call me back for something else. But I don't, because I've been so busy building my own products, and also another reason is because the material's so hard to find. Now, if I had shelves full of everything and I can go print them off, I would definitely be hustling more with my back-end customers. But if I hustled, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks calling all my customers, my inventory would probably be gone.
Yeah, because you're a reseller, so you have no products left.
Exactly.
You don't really want to do that.
That's right.
Okay. Do you upsell though on your products, like when they go to purchase?
Absolutely. The three fastest ways to increase profit in any business is cross sell, upsell, and packaging. And I do them all. So I may have someone who calls me and they say, hey, I'm interested in that joint venture product put together by Lewis Arouse. And then a gentleman, actually, I'll give you a perfect example. A guy from England wanted that. He actually sent me a money order. It was about $300 for this course. And then he said he was also interested in the contract guide, which was a letter of agreements guide, which was a series of one-page letter of agreements, very legally binding but not as threatening as a 4 or 5 page contract when you want to do a deal with somebody. And he was interested in that. Now, I had the resale rights of that. Sells for $300. I got to tell you what, if you get – I think I made him an offer. If he gets the joint venture guide, I'll give him the contract guide at half off. So with some of the products, because the Jay Abraham stuff and some of the other stuff is limited, I've had to create and get and acquire the rights to some of my own products that I had control over. And so I had the rights to that, so it cost me nothing. I've already made the investment in the resale rights on both those products, the letter of agreements guide, which sells for $300, and the joint venture guide, which sells for $300. And so they're digital products, and you know, it's all profit. And so I made an agreement with them, and we did the joint venture for $300, and I did 50% off on the letter of agreements guide.
You do sell J. Abraham, and I know, just so my listeners know, what you do is all legal because you're just reselling like a used bookstore. Have you ever contacted the J. Abraham company, or maybe they contacted you, but did you ever ask them, could I become an exclusive reseller and...
No, I've thought about it. Now, when I first started, I heard from their attorney, a guy named Troy Tate, and he contacted me. He saw me all over eBay, and they wanted to make sure I wasn't counterfeiting the stuff.
And only their main concern was that, right?
Main concern. They wanted to make sure what I was doing was legitimate. And I think they emailed me or sent me a letter, and they wanted proof that what I was doing was legitimate. So that same day, I went to my checkbook. I photocopied about 25 checks of checks that I've written for material that I've bought that they could cross-reference with their mailing list, and I overnighted it to them right away. Just say, here you go. You want proof? Here it is. Because I knew if I was going to do it, I had...
You're doing the real deal.
Yeah. So from then on, I've never had problems with them, and actually, I've emailed, you know, Troy Tate. I've got his email address, and we emailed back and forth. I even assisted him with some of the counterfeit stuff on eBay.
Yeah, because you want to get rid of that. That's your competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're basically like their right-hand man, in a sense, to try to eliminate all the counterfeit. They probably love you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I have worked with them. I got them set up with the eBay Vero.
Okay.
I showed them how to stop any unauthorized auctions.
Okay, that's something new to me. I've never heard of that. I know the Safe Harbor used to be something they did years ago with like volunteers would try to.
Well, it's a program with copyright holders. So J. Abraham, it's his name.
Yeah.
He can stop any auction that has J. Abraham in it if he wants.
Oh, okay.
No questions, auction, just they click the button.
But you don't even list your stuff on there anymore, do you?
Sometimes I do. I've got a couple.
They hit you because they know who you are.
Right.
As soon as they see artist find them apart from that email listing, they know right away, oh, that's Michael Senoff.
That's correct.
Okay. So do you use any offline marketing for your because it seems for your course it'd be great to put offline marketing as opposed to like a website. If someone just owns a website, I used to own a website, bodybooks.com.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would not necessarily be a great offline marketing website to do, but for you, you're selling seminars. So
Jay, I use no offline marketing. The only offline marketing I use would be if I pick up the phone and make a call.
Really? I thought you might maybe do some display ads or some magazine press.
Not at all. 100% online. All my sales all originate from leads online.
And so your basic, let's get into that, because that's what most of the people who buy my courses are very interested in, online marketing,
mm-hmm.
which is direct marketing, as we know, because they're looking for a call to action, an immediate response, so to speak.
Right.
Do you use search engines, pay-per-click, e-signs? How do you do your online marketing?
Well, I have so much content on my site now that over time, as you develop content on your websites, the search engines will pick you up. And it's just
a listing, yeah.
Right. But the only thing I use for hard-to-find seminars is I've used Overture, which was – is it still called Overture?
Yeah, it used to be GoTo, but it's Overture.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I've used Overture keywords, and I've used the keywords J. Abraham, Gary Halbert, Bill Myers, Ted Nicholas, the authors of the products of the people I sell,
right.
to capture.
Started,
yeah, and I have one ad that says buy pre-owned J. Abraham seminars for, you know, 20 cents on the dollar, and then it directs them to hard-to-find seminars. So I use Overture, and I use keywords on Google AdWords, and that's
okay.
it.
And that's basically it, right? That's where you get most of your leads.
That's correct.
That's great. So, have you ever thought about buying leads? Have you ever done that in the past?
I've never bought leads. Those are pay-per-click. I consider that buying leads.
Right, yeah.
What are you thinking of?
You could buy the, I forget the name of it, NS. I don't have it on the top of my head.
Buying leads and sending out an offer?
Yeah, like, you know, you buy, basically buying a lead. Almost like reference USA. So
yeah.
But there's, I think it's the...
SRDS?
Yeah.
Mailing list? Well,
I've never used the SRDS, but I didn't know if you ever used that for mailing lists.
Oh, the SRDS. Oh, it's an incredible resource. But for my website, hardtofindseminars.com, I just wait for people who are looking for J. Abraham stuff and let them come to me. I don't do much promotion of the site. It's all through referral, people who find me online.
That's the question I want to get to. You probably get a lot of referrals because people are happy with the product. They know what they're getting and they got it.
Yep, people are happy.
It's a straightforward product that you have. You're saying you're going to get this seminar, and then they get that seminar. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to beat. If you're looking for a Jay Abraham seminar and you want to save money, you know, why would you pay retail? As long as I could prove to you that the materials are authentic and they're exactly as described. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
So you run, like you said, the majority of your business, probably would say, it would be safe to say 90% of your business comes from the online, originally from online?
Basically 100%.
Okay, so basically 100%, then you're like me. You have an off time of the year, more or less, or a slow time of the year. And that time, we're approaching that time now. It's spring through summer. Is that your slow time of year, or do you find your time slows down for sales in that time of year?
The summertime is naturally a slower time for everybody. And, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, you do. Okay. I asked some of these other questions, so I'm trying to breathe through.
No problem.
Okay. Do you track your online advertising? With some of my websites I track, and some of them I don't track because it's a little more difficult to track. But I track my dating ones. I have specific links that are generated, and I put them onto the pay-per-click words, or if I put on a different ad on a different website, then I know if they clicked it and if they signed up. Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, I do. You can track it with your Google AdWords, and with Overture, they give you all the tracking. They'll tell you what keywords were clicked on, how many, how much it costs, and so you have all the statistics on that. Another way I track my promotions, let's say I send out an email to my entire list and I direct them to a special web page. Inside the control panel of your website, many of your listeners maybe who are new to websites don't know this, but there's a control panel. It's almost like the brains of your website with all kinds of tracking devices. It'll tell you how many people every day clicked on that page. It'll tell you how many people clicked on all the different pages. I can determine who's listening to what recording, at what time, how many people listen to this recording, how many people listen to that recording. It's all built into my control panel of the website. Now, everyone's control panel is similar in nature. It gives you controls of where you can forward your email addresses and all kinds of things in your statistics. And I have an audio recording up at hardtofindseminars.com on the audio clip section on page 5. And it's an audio recording I did with an internet expert. And we went through my entire control panel and went over all the features and all the things that you can do with a control panel. It'd be a great education for anyone who wants to get a hold and learn, you know, what they can do with that.
And that's on Hard to Find Seminars again?
HardToFindSeminars.com. It's on how to understand your control panel of your website.
So you track the visitors, or are you tracking the conversions of those specific visitors, or are you just tracking
No, I'm only tracking if I do an email. Well, I'll know the conversion. Let's say I send out an email, for example, to 1,000 of my customers.
Right.
Then I'll go into the control panel. I can determine how many people clicked on that web page. So
okay.
let's say 300 clicked on the page.
Okay.
And then I can determine, well, did I get a sale that day within the next 2 days? And I could get an idea of what that promotion produced.
Because what I've been doing recently, I did not do this when I first started, and something I've been doing recently is I'll specifically track a keyword and if it converts into a specific sale. Because you know how we pay for a click, you know?
Right.
And those clicks, as small as some of those may be, 15, 20 cents a click, you know, you're getting hundreds of them a month or thousands of them a month on some keywords. You know, and it really turns into some money over time, over the course of the year.
So you're directing each keyword to a separate
page?
Each
keyword has a specific link. Not for all my websites, but for the dating sites, yes.
Okay.
So this is something we did with the programmers I have. I contract out programmers to do jobs for me.
Right.
And they set up these keywords so that they set up this system for me. So I could just type in, I'll type in like a new nickname. And I'll say Overture, and then I'll put like underscore, and I'll say what the keyword is,
mm-hmm.
which is say dating, right? Which I don't use because it's too expensive, but Overture underscore dating. And then I know when I look at my list, it'll say how many clicks it got and then how many of those clicks turned into sign-ups.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so I didn't know if you were actually doing that or if you're just, you know, because a lot of people, they're just tracking how many people are clicking, et cetera, but how many of those clicks are actually converting in.
Right. Well, with my hard-to-find seminars, I'm not doing it as much, and I'm not really paying attention to my ID pin thing unless I do a promotion, and the same with Monaco products. But with Claude Hopkins Advertising, we can get a good idea of what's happening on that.
Absolutely, because ClickBank, yeah.
Right.
ClickBank's amazing with that. Yeah.
Right.
I can attest to that because I own a website, googlebank.com, and I use ClickBank for all of the affiliate, and I also use that for, obviously, to accept the credit cards, too.
Okay, great.
Okay, now I'd like to talk more about sales copy online opposed to offline and how effective you feel sales copy is or isn't in when you're presenting your product or your offer, online or offline. And what type of sales copy or what do you put in your sales copy for your websites? For my websites, I put in like headlines, subheadlines. We talked about this before, establishing credibility, you know, breaking down the trust barriers. On all my sites, I have my phone number, which I think a lot of people don't do. So with those types of things in mind, also, I've noticed this on your sites, you're big on long sales copy, and all the top guys, Corey Rudel, all of them, they have long sales copy pages. So could you tell me a little bit about what you feel is a successful sales copywriting, and you feel it's different if you're online or offline?
Okay. I don't think there's much difference whether it's online or offline. I think there's some key important factors in website copy or letter writing copy, and number one, most important, is a headline. You've got to telegraph as quickly as possible the main benefit that would capture the attention of your prospect reading that letter. And you have to give them reasons why they want to read the letter. And you have to talk to them in normal, everyday language. I like to write like I talk. As a matter of fact, a lot of my sales copy is nothing but transcripts of me talking, and then I may clean it up a little bit.
So I think a headline is definitely important. I think an opening paragraph is definitely important. A good, strong offer, telling them reasons why, giving your prospect reasons why, real, honest reasons why they should buy that product or service from you, explaining everything you can, every question that they may have in their head in that letter, because you only have one time to get them. And that brings the point to long copy. You know, why are all these people so in love with long copy? Because long copy sells, because when you've got someone's attention with the headline, and if you can keep them reading and you're talking their language and they're interested, what you're saying in your writing is interesting to them, and it shows them how they can benefit, that you're writing copy of what's in it for them. That's how you should always be writing your copy. You should look through your copy after you're finished, and wherever you have the word I or thee or they, you should have you. You know, that's what people are interested in themselves, and that's what your copy has got to talk to. What is in it for them, and give them reasons why, make them strong offer, and just back up everything you say and do it in a normal conversational tone without trying to sound important or fancy.
This leads me into your audio, and most of the top internet marketers, when they wrote their courses, I think audio wasn't really, it's something you could do at the time, because now they have the flash audio, like you mentioned before. You told us about one that's on your site in the internet tools section of the product section. You basically offer the ability to get audio. Is that right?
What's on this section at the internet tools is when I'm doing audio interviews, like you're doing an audio interview, right. You have to have a way to record the phone conversation. So I'm recording it a couple different ways through a digital recorder. You've got a digital recorder on your end?
Yes.
I've got a digital recorder on my end. We've got those Radio Shack plugs that plug into the back of the phone. So that's one pretty reliable way to get a good quality recording. Also on the site, I have a piece of software that you can link to, a piece of software, and it's what I first learned about, called Modem Spy. And it costs about $24. You download it right onto your computer. You've got to have a voice modem. You've got to have plugs, like phone jack plugs, that you can plug your phone in and out. And that gives you the ability to record your calls and intercept the recording through your computer, and you're recording it through your modem. So those are tools that will allow you to record the calls. Now, once you...
Modem Spy, does it have that buzz in the background, kind of like our Radio Shack thing? They all had a little...
Yeah, Modem Spy I had some problems with. My digital recording device is much better quality and much more reliable, and I had to find an alternative to that Modem Spy, but I didn't know of one until just not too long ago.
Digital recorders, too, like mine, it's like 5.5 hours. You get a lot of audio on there. You'll never even run out. You just kind of go through a whole, a regular conversation, which I do that sometimes. I get on the phone and I ask people, is it okay that I record a conversation, like students? Because down the road, I might actually want to use that as a whole course, just, you know, testimonial course. Mm-hmm. But, it's good to, these Radio Shack, or I have a Sony one, but the sound recorders itself, the handsets, they can go up to 5.5-6 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. They're great. And I'll tell you the model I use a Sony IC recorder. and the model number is ICD-ST25. This is one of the more recent ones, and they're about $150. You can get a similar model for $100 at Circuit City, and they're fine. Now, one real important thing, you need that device from Radio Shack to record the call. There's a little microphone jack that you plug into your Sony device, and I recommend you do not get the little recording thing with the suction cup that you suction onto your phone set. It's not going to be near as good quality. You want the one that plugs in. It's got a little box to it. Just ask your guy at Radio Shack what you need. Get the most expensive one because you want a good quality recording. Once you have your recording, then you need to edit it. Now, I've made mistakes in answering some of your questions, but we're going to edit these out so we get a smooth, you know, no one wants to hear all your screw-ups, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to use some software, some editing software. Once you have your audio recording, which is a file, you want to save it as a WAV file, then you use editing software, and I use something. There's a link to my tools to the one I use. It's called...
Did you know I do audio interviews? I bet you could tell by now that I do audio interviews with experts on marketing, advertising, direct mail, list management, you name it. My interviews can build the value of your information products. My interviews can enhance the sales of a website. My interviews can make you famous. If you want someone who has an intimate knowledge of the direct mail business and understands the questions to ask, understands how to dig out the scoop, understands how to produce, develop, and create a compelling audio product, you want to talk to me. I promise you, if you've got a product you're selling and you want to bring life and build value into it, please contact me.